Show with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Stupid management.
The people are real. The cases are real. This is
Tom and Ollie. I just called
to say. Well, I did used to have a Holden Commodore. It was a VL wagon at the time. One was a P-Planter. I had about 2 years and I managed to get pulled over 13 times in it.
Yep, that'd do it.
One, two, three, four.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, welcome to your Wacky Wednesday. Guys, it's Wacky Wednesday, Ollie.
I know, Tom. Look, a wacky show tonight in the sense that lots going on. I mean, of course, Wednesday, deep thought of the week.
Oh, yeah, jump in that pondering pond.
Which will be good. I want to chat about your birthday briefly. The fact that last night Auntie Donna were on the show.
Oh, they're those wacky, naughty boys, those comedians.
Just posted a video of them on the show last night wreaking havoc.
Oh.
So that's at Tom and Ollie on Facebook. Check out those Liz Larrikins.
It's going to be quite a different show, though, tonight, Ollie, because from 7:30, we have Sarah, who's HIV positive, coming in to answer your questions and smash that taboo about living with HIV. I mean, a lot of people, when I say HIV, probably think of that TV ad from 1987, you know, with the Grim Reaper.
Yep.
Bowling is balling ball down. Well, I can tell you, living with HIV is a completely different thing these days, and Sarah will be able to tell all in about half an hour's time.
That should be really fascinating stuff, Tom, and great that we can take your questions and your calls as well on that one.
Yeah.
But to start the show, Tom, I wanted to share with you a crazy story of coincidence.
Okay.
It was given to me once again, 4 a.m. in the smokers area of a nightclub.
No.
And it's a smashing coincidence story.
All right, well, stick around. This is Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. It's When I Grow Up, Garbage, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions and can't wait to spin the new John Butler trio track as well. It's called Home. That's not far away, as well as Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Jeez, good night of music here. Wacky Wednesday.
Yeah.
Ollie, you just mentioned there that you had a coincidence that you heard about when you were at a nightclub at 4 a.m. in a smoker's area.
Sure do, Tom.
Don't know what you were doing in there.
The weekend that keeps on giving. Am I right? Yeah, coincidence stories. They can be a bit of fun. They can also be boring. This one is okay.
Well, before you go into that, Ollie, when you said coincidence, I mean, I'm a lover of the radio medium. You know me.
Yep.
I'm a radio guy. Yep. Press the buttons, listen to the radio shows, all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. It reminds me of an old school Hamish and Andy bit. Now, you know Hamish and Andy.
You can't mention Hamish and Andy.
Well, mate, every other show has had Hamish and Andy on their bloody show, apart from this bloody show.
Yeah, it's true. The only show to not have Hamish and Andy promoting true stories.
Yeah, and we'll proudly say that. We'll proudly scream it from the rooftop.
That's our catch cry.
Well, they had a game, right, that they called Beat That Coincidence.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, vaguely. I didn't hear the guys much.
Well, let me play you some of their show.
Right.
Where they actually explain.
Is that allowed?
Well, why not? I don't know.
You're going to play their show?
I'm going to play Summer, Hamish and Andy now.
Okay.
Them talking about this game.
Why would you do that though, Tom?
Well, because if you've got a coincidence, there's no new ideas in radio anymore, Ollie. Why don't we just steal this game? Anyway, take a listen about what this game's involved, okay?
It's a complicated game, but I think it's worth the effort. If you've not heard it, this is how it happens. Ando will discuss his coincidence, and then he will choose a time frame.
Whether it's the last week or the last month or last year, whether you're...
Back in time, where your coincidence has to have happened to make it a bit easier for Andy to have the best coincidence on the show.
Okay, so it's a battle of coincidences, right?
Yes, yes, I get that.
It's called Beat That Coincidence.
Beat That Coincidence.
Do you reckon we just steal it?
What?
Well, there's no new ideas in radio anymore, Ollie.
You can't just steal a show's idea.
Who says that?
I think it's an unwritten code, surely. It's a protocol.
Is
it's out of respect.
Nah. If it's in a rule book, chuck out the rule book, mate. That's what they always say.
This is classic, Tom. You just want to literally rip and do their segment.
Yeah. And guess what, Ollie?
What?
I found the opener.
No. Okay. Yeah. Look, ordinarily I would say no to this, to be honest. I'm intrigued. Let me hear the opener. Beat
that coincidence. Brilliant. Let's play it. 133353. Ollie, you're going to say your coincidence, and then we will play. Beat
that coincidence. I don't mind it because this story is a bit naff. So it's not an amazing story in and of itself. So let's use a bit of H&A magic.
And you know what I love about it as well? It was probably pretty hard to get on Hamish and Andy and play Beat That Coincidence. Like, they would have thousands upon thousands of people trying to call.
Yeah.
This show, we'd get a couple of calls a night.
You're guaranteed to get on this one, basically.
Yeah. So,
not guaranteed, but you've got a really good chance. So that's a good spin, Tom. I don't mind that. All right,
give us your coincidence.
I was at the club, nightclub, and I heard a great story from another guy.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to this young kid, and he goes, oh, you're at Triple M. And we got onto that topic. And he's like, oh, so you do stories on the radio. I've got a crazy story for you. That's a coincidence story. And I go, I don't know if it's okay. Let's hear it, buddy. So it's an okay story, but it's the kicker at the end that's worth it. So he goes, I was at a festival with a girl. We met up. We just hooked up. We'd met her that night. He went back to her tent, and about midnight, and they do the deed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all good so far. But he then goes, oh, okay, look, this is run its course. I'm gonna probably head off now.
Totally,
back to my friends.
Yeah.
You know, the night's still young, potentially. Couldn't find his wallet and phone, right? So he's roughing around. He's like, have you seen my wallet and my phone? And she's like, no, just I haven't seen it, but just stay. Let's just stay and cuddle a bit. And he's like, I'm a bit nervous now. Like, my phone and wallet's missing.
Yeah.
And she was being quite, mate, don't worry. Just stay here, stay here. What? He freaks out a bit, and he eventually finds it in her bag, right?
What?
Which is, he was like, why is it in there? And she was a bit coy, and obviously it looked like she'd been hiding it, right? But the kicker, I was like, is that your story, mate? That isn't that great.
And that's not a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence story. He was telling this story to a couple of Aussies overseas.
No.
Sorry, his friend was telling this story to a couple of Aussies overseas.
Yeah.
And a girl goes, stop with this story. That was me.
No way!
That way! Can you believe that? Beep, 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 beep,
that coincidence!
In Europe, this story was told to the girl who did that.
It's a good coincidence.
I almost ruined it.
133353, if you reckon you can beat that coincidence just like Hamish and Andy would have played, then give us a call. 133353. It's a good coincidence.
It's not stealing, it's honouring, isn't it?
It's borrowing.
It's paying homage. They haven't got a show anymore. They've got a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Check it out on Podcast One.
A podcast, though. The live radio here. Your chance to get involved with H&A's Beat That Coincidence. Have we asked the guys about this?
Nah, I'm sure they'll be fine with it.
Oh, my God.
You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Give us a call. It's Home, the John Butler Trio. New music here on Triple M. What do you reckon about it? Just head to triplem.com.au, become a Triple M club member, and have a say on the music that we play on your Triple M. It's very important. G'day, it's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Mm. And look, we also say that there's no new ideas in radio.
Is it Tom and Ollie tonight? Is it Tom and Ollie or is it Hamish and Andy? Because you've stolen Hamish and Andy's segment.
Borrowed.
Borrowed.
Borrowed. Yeah. And it's a game that they call... Beep, 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 beep,
that coincidence.
Got the opener and everything, baby.
That's impressive in itself. But I'm still unclear as to how ethical/legal it is to just... steal a segment and steal audio from a segment.
I think it's fine. We're referencing it. We're saying it's theirs. We're not going, we're going to play a game called Try and Outdo the Coincidence.
I normally wouldn't be up for stealing stuff, Tom. I haven't stolen since Pokemon cards in year 9. But I don't mind the fact that you've pitched it as a chance to get on the radio and play a Hamish and Andy game that normally you wouldn't get on their show and play because they have a lot of listeners.
And they now have a podcast. And they
possibly more than us.
Yeah.
Possibly more than us.
Possibly.
So you can get on our show with a fair amount of ease, 133353, and play Beat the Coincidence.
Should we be reminded of how to play the game by Hamish and Andy themselves?
Sure.
It's a complicated game, but I think it's worth the effort. If you've not heard it, this is how it happens. Ando will discuss his coincidence, and then he will choose a time frame.
Whether it's the last week or the last month or last year, whether you're...
back in time, where your coincidence has to have happened to make it a bit easier for Andy to have the best coincidence on the show.
So that's something we haven't done. We haven't chosen...
It's a complicated game.
Whoa!
Loop it, Tom. You love them that much.
Love it, Loop. We haven't chosen a time frame of when your coincidence should...
No, it's our first time doing Hamish and Andy's segment, Beat That Coincidence, so we'll ease into it. And
yeah, sure.
My coincidence was basically a guy had a festival hookup story that went wrong, but his mate was telling the story to a girl in Europe, and she was an Aussie girl, and she said, well, that's about me.
Which is insane. Michael on 133353, you reckon you can beat that coincidence?
I reckon I might be able to. I'll try and tell the story pretty quickly. About 27 years ago, a friend of mine was hooking up a Melbourne band to go on a tour with the Scorpions.
Okay.
And then, unfortunately, that girl kind of suddenly died in an accident.
Okay.
so that the tour never happened. Yeah. But while she was there, she sent two guitar picks off to two different friends of mine, yeah. right? So then about 27 years later, I bumped into one of the guys, and he was sick and he was kind of dying, and I have a collection of guitar picks, and he gave me one of the guitar picks that this girl that passed away, that he sent to her.
Right. Right. Okay.
So then, and then what happened is I bumped in, and then he passed away. Then I happened to bump into my, and when he gave me the guitar pick, he gave me a photo of the girl with the scorpions, and I had that in my garage. I quite didn't know the full story.
So you got, so you both got guitar picks. That's pretty insane.
No, I wasn't following that one.
Really?
That was a very confusing. There was a lot going on there.
Well, thank you for playing Beat That Coincidence. I will blame the failure on that story on Hamish
that
and
was,
Andy.
That was Shenandy's fault.
G'day, John. How you doing?
Hey, good, fellas. How are you?
What's your coincidence? Do you reckon you can beat Ollie's?
Oh, maybe. My son speaks fluent Korean. He's 7 now, but when he was 3...
Hang on, what? Your son can speak fluent Korean at 7? Well,
his mother's Korean.
Well, okay, that fluent makes sense. 7-year-old yeah. Korean. He's not like
yeah,
a linguistics
yeah, yeah.
expert.
Oh, well, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay, okay.
Now, when he was about 3, we took a video of, well, I took a video of him trying to teach me in Korean how to say, let's explore Dinosaur Island. And okay. he's a pretty cute kid. He doesn't look like me.
Yeah.
About 3 years later, last year, a guy moved in with us. We rent rooms upstairs, and from Korea, and Jack was still trying to teach me Korean, and he says, he looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, I've seen you before, and he got his phone out, and he found a video from 3 years previous
oh my God.
Of my little son and I that he'd seen in Korea.
What? Did it go viral?
Oh, in Korea, apparently.
Oh my God.
I like it. I think you've nearly done it.
That coincidence.
That's yeah, pretty definitely, good. Definitely.
That's a good
because
coincidence.
Because my story was very Australian-centric, like Aussies travelling overseas in Europe.
Yeah.
That was a Korean finding another Korean baby in Australia.
That's pretty insane. Lee on 133353, you've got a double coincidence that you reckon beat Aussies.
I do. I was working with a fellow there in a concrete plant, and my father-in-law had a heart attack and then subsequent heart transplant.
Right.
And then one day he fell out of the hill. I had to leave early, and that was then go up there to see him in hospital with my wife. And then when we came back, the fellow asked me, how was your father? I said, oh, no, it's my father-in-law. He had a heart transplant. And then he goes, oh, what date did he have this on? And I went, oh, I don't know, I'll find out for you. Found out for him and then told him, and it happened to be on the same day that his brother donated his heart. And then he brought in the thank you letter, and then I brought in a copy of the thanks letter as well
from
my father-in-law, and the little bits that identified the donor and the recipient were blacked out, but all word for word.
Wow! So it was the brother and the dad that had the heart.
The muffling distracted me.
And then I worked.
No, it's the worst phone line ever, Lee.
The muffling distracted me. I couldn't understand it. But Lee, that sounds crazy.
That coincidence.
133353. We'll take more coincidences after this. Yours has probably been beaten, I reckon.
Don't call through a static phone line, please. No. We'll try and get a better phone line. Clean. But yeah, beat that coincidence. 133353. Your last chance to get on air and play a Hamish and Andy game.
You're with Tom and Ollie. Triple M. It's Refugee, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Triple M's Tom and Ollie, we have questions. And when I say HIV, you're probably thinking about that Grim Reaper ad from 1987. Well, we have Sarah, who's HIV positive, coming in to answer your questions and smash that taboo on living with HIV. That's not far away, about 10 minutes time.
We're playing a game from a different radio station, Tom. It's it's one of your lowest efforts, but also ballsy of you to go, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to steal a radio segment from Hamish and Andy. This is the opener here that you stole.
Beep, that coincidence.
And you know what? I'm not going to stop at Hamish and Andy.
Oh.
Let me just say that.
Oh.
Radio shows, watch out. I'm coming for you. I'm playing your games. I'm talking Alpha Bucks. I'm talking Quick Draw. I'm talking other radio games.
Other big games that people may have heard of, maybe not.
Beat the bomb.
Beat the coincidence. Have you got a story that involves a coincidence? Is if it beats mine, which it probably will, you win pride. Crazy John's called up, though. Crazy John, welcome back to the show, mate.
Crazy John.
Hey, Ollie, how are you, man? That's a coincidence. I was just calling you.
Yeah, what?
Shut up, John. I'm here as well, mate. What do you want?
Oh, Tom, how are you, mate? How's the kazoo?
How's the kazoo?
I've put it in the bin, mate. It's no longer here.
Oh, but it makes farting noises. You should love it.
What do you want to say, John? We're doing we're doing coincidences.
Coincidence. My coincidence is that when you first started out, I called up and I said, used to were like poor man's Hamish and Andy.
Bad coincidence.
Good, crazy John. You're off now. You're gone. Thanks, buddy. Mark on 133353. Do you reckon you can beat that coincidence?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident, yeah.
All right, go for it.
Cocky.
So my wife and I went to, flew to America to go to a wedding, and we were, you know, a couple of stops in New York, Chicago, and my wife's a big Oprah fan.
Oh, yeah.
So for about 2 months before we left, I was staying up late, ringing me, you know, trying to get tickets to go to Oprah. Sent emails, even tried to message Oprah via Facebook.
Wow, okay.
Tried everything for 2 months, was unsuccessful. Anyway, so we just went, off we went, we did a week in New York, and then we flew to Chicago, and as we get off the plane, going to get our baggage, we're standing there waiting for the carousel, you know, with the baggage to start, and there's this tall, very well-dressed African-American lady, and my wife says to
Not
me,
Oprah.
I think that's Oprah's best friend, Gail. And oh, I said,
okay.
I said to my wife, I said, we're in Chicago. I said, what are the chances? She said, no, she lives here. I'm sure she's a producer on the show. I'm sure it's her.
Oh, my God. So your wife's a stalker.
I said, okay. I said, well, if we can't get, surely she can get us tickets. So I actually just went up to her and I said, would you happen to be Gail, Oprah's best friend? And she turned and she goes, yes, I am.
Oh, my God.
I said, I've been ringing and emailing and everything. All I want is two tickets for my wife to go and watch, you know, Oprah. We're here for a week.
And for yourself as well, Mark. Be
honest. No, mate, don't ruin the story for me. Is that Tom or Ollie?
That was Ollie.
Ollie, don't ruin the story for me.
Okay. Sorry, Mark, over to you.
It's just taking about 15 minutes, Mark, so let's get to the punchline.
Anyway, she said, give me a number. I'll sort you out in the next hour. And by the time we actually drove out of O'Hare Airport...
So you got to Oprah or not?
Two tickets on the condition that you don't bring your husband.
Bad coincidence.
Sorry, Mark, to almost ruin your story as well when I butted in there on our show.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was even a coincidence, but anyway. Hey, Kim, how you doing?
I'm good.
You got
how
a coincidence?
I do. It's an old one. It's from about 30 years ago.
Okay.
I married an Australian. I lived in Canada. I live in Australia now. Right. We got married, and back then there was no social media or the internet. So he put an ad in the paper rather than sending an invitation to all his family and friends. Just put an ad in the paper to invite all Australians to his wedding.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it did escalate a little bit further, and he got onto the page 3 of the Herald Sun, and that was a bit of a story. So we ended up having 40 Australians come to our wedding that we didn't know.
Awesome. That's fun.
And 6 months later, I'm back in Melbourne working, getting on a tram, going to work, and I couldn't figure out how much to pay or whatever and didn't know where I was going. So I spoke to the conductor, I guess the guy driving the tram.
Yeah.
And as I spoke, he goes, oh, I love your accent. Where are you from? I go, I'm from Canada. And he goes, whereabouts? And I said, Toronto. And he said, oh, my God, I read a story about this Aussie guy that married this Canadian girl 6 months ago, invited all of Australia to his wedding. And I go, that was me. He goes, no, it wasn't. I go, it was me. That's my coincidence.
Wow.
Coincidence.
I was really hoping that he'd been to the wedding,
but he'd read about it in the paper.
Yeah.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Two best mates.
I'm sick of you.
Oh, yeah?
And 3 hours of questions. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Now, Tom, before you ask about it, you've been banging on about your birthday month. I know your birthday is coming up on Monday.
Guys, I'm turning 28. Let's have a full month of celebrations. Yeah.
How have you found it so far?
Oh, no one's done anything.
No. Look, the birthday month did slip past.
I got a Snickers.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's good.
I bought myself a Snickers. I thought, oh, you know what? It's my birthday month. I'm going to treat myself.
Well, Tom, the birthday month kind of failed, but I've got the next best thing.
What?
Birthday week.
Yes. That's like the best.
It's the second best thing you could ask for.
Hang on, that started on Monday.
Yeah, it's going to start on Friday.
But then that's like a birthday weekend.
Yeah, it's a short week. It's a birthday short week. Anyway, stop whinging. I will tell you in the next half hour, in about half an hour's time, I will get to what's planned for your birthday. You're going to love it. It's an exciting experience that I've planned for this week. for your birthday week.
Amazing. Well, up next, we have Sarah coming in who's HIV positive to smash that taboo about living with HIV and answer your questions. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. It's Highway Tune, Greta Van Fleet, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. Of course, it is a wacky Wednesday. We'll get those deep thoughts that you've got in your head very soon for Deep Thought of the Week. But right now, we're very lucky to be joined by Sarah, who is living with HIV. Thank you for coming in, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, I want to play this ad because I feel like when I say HIV, a lot of people, probably their minds go back to 1987 with that insanely scary Grim Reaper ad.
I knew we were going to come to this.
Well,
I've never really seen it because I was born after that. But Tom, yeah, you were saying it's huge in the 80s and it formed the whole attack against or campaign for HIV protection, I guess.
Yeah, take a listen.
At first, only gays and IV drug users were being killed by AIDS. But now we know every one of us could be devastated by it. The fact is, over 50,000 men, women, and children now carry the AIDS virus. That in 3 years, nearly 2,000 of us will be dead.
I feel like a lot of people just got a lot of chills through their spine, a lot of flashbacks happening there. Sarah, when you hear that ad, what does that make you feel for a person living with HIV?
Look, I think it's relevant to the time. You know, we did have, there was an AIDS epidemic in Australia, we can't deny that, but... Yeah. It unfortunately still, people go back to that, and we don't have an AIDS epidemic in Australia anymore. We have people living with HIV. We have people thriving with HIV. Undetectable means untransmittable, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I hear that ad and I think of, you know, sort of fear mongering and, you know, trying to tell the community about HIV. But it was a really, really powerful message, but kind of, I think it kind of went the wrong way and people then just took that as a way to stigmatize people living with HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally. Well, tell us a bit about yourself. How did you contract it? How long have you been living with HIV? All that kind of thing.
Well, so the usual way, I got HIV the same way you were both created. I had sex.
Oh, no, you did not. Sarah, you naughty girl.
I know. So, and everybody normally asks, especially as a woman with HIV from Australia, people always want to know, how did you get it?
Yeah.
Well, I had unprotected sex with somebody that I was in love with and somebody that didn't know their status.
Wow.
And that was over 10 years ago.
Is it wrong to ask that question, how did you get it?
Look, for some people, yeah, because it shouldn't be. There's a lot of stigma around how people contracted HIV.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was through drug use, through sex, through different modes of transmission, but there is still a lot of stigma around that. Mm. So I think, you know, it's you know, like you don't ask someone how they got cancer or how they got diabetes. Did you eat too much sugar?
Yeah.
You know, like it's you know, when you kind of put it in that context, you know, HIV today is a chronic manageable illness. So there's no reason to sort of go, well, how did you get it? Did you get it the good way? Was it a blood transfusion? Or you know, yeah.
Wow.
So I think when you break it down and just go, HIV is a virus, it's an STI, and that most people get it from having sex.
Yeah.
So.
Well, why it's great that you're in here, and I think, you know, Tom, I think, wanted to pursue this as a conversation topic because there's a bit of taboo, I guess, and there's that great show on the ABC that's You Can't Ask That. Mm. This has got that kind of feel where maybe for our listeners and me particularly as well, it's great to find out, to explore the idea and your own experience and find out what can be asked and spoken about and what's like, oh, that's not for you to know as well.
Yeah, I think the main thing is to ask questions. You know, with any community that you're not sure about, ask questions. Mm. You know, people with HIV are very diverse. We cross all cultural barriers, religion, socioeconomic status, sexuality, gender, everything. You know, HIV is a virus. It does not discriminate and it will target anybody and anybody. Anybody and anyone that has had or will have sex in their life without a condom.
Totally. Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's about asking questions, you know, and knowing as well, you know, going back to undetectable means untransmittable. Mm. U equals U. Now, with effective treatment that we have in Australia and around the world, but more so in Australia, you know, people that are on effective treatment, that take their treatment as prescribed, cannot actually transmit HIV. Really? So there is no risk to your sexual partners. Women can have babies. Technically, they can breastfeed. In Australia, that's still a bit of a hot topic. But there's actually no risk of transmission.
So you being HIV positive, you can have unprotected sex with someone and they won't catch it?
Well, I'm actually planning on having a baby soon.
Oh yeah, my God, wow. Congratulations.
Well, I'm not pregnant now, but it's on the cards.
Congrats on planning it.
Thank you. You know, and yeah. I think that's really important, you know, to acknowledge that, you know, U equals U, or undetectable meaning untransmittable, has been around. There's been women all around the world that are HIV positive that have been having babies and their babies have not been getting HIV.
Wow.
So this is a really, really important message for people to realize. It's not just sexual partners. This is also what we call vertical transmission. Okay. So from mother to baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not been happening for a long time. In Australia, we don't see women having babies born with HIV to HIV-positive mothers. So it's really, really exciting time.
It's almost like it's a common STI more than a death sentence kind of thing, the way it used to be seen.
Well, I don't know. Like, I reckon herpes would be more dysfunctional than HIV these days. You know, like HIV, the side effects to the medicines are so low. I mean, I don't want to minimize.
Well, let's get more into this soon. We're going to go to a song. We're talking to Sarah, who is HIV positive. If you have any questions for Sarah, 133353, now is your time to ask them. Sarah, you're an open book at the moment.
I totally am.
You're ready to answer these questions. 133353. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, what a tune.
Steve Winwood. Hi, I love.
Yeah.
Love it?
I love it.
Oh, turn it up. Triple M. Hi, I love. Steve Winwood. Tune. Triple M, Tom and Ollie, never say tune on Triple M, as they say. Hey, so exciting to be joined by Sarah, who is a queer woman who's been living with HIV for over 10 years, and she's here to answer your questions, to smash that stigma, that taboo about what living with HIV is like.
Very
and
different.
133353.
How it used to be.
Yeah, very different to how it used to be.
Tom, I want to ask about this process called seroconversion, because I don't know this is how it worked, but there is a moment where your body, when you contract HIV, that things change. Can you tell us what that is and how that works?
Yeah, so we call this seroconversion. So I guess the easiest way to explain it is, say you have an unsafe sex or you're exposed to HIV. So you, the virus will enter your body through your bloodstream, through vaginal mucus, anal mucus, whatever kind of fun you're getting up to at the time. And it will enter your bloodstream. So there's normally a 3-month window period as well with testing. But for myself, like as I said, my partner didn't know that he was HIV positive at the time. And we were in a committed relationship, a monogamous relationship. And so we weren't practicing safe sex, you know, that was sort of off the table because we were in love and, you know,
totally.
And we're still best friends, you know. Mm-hmm. But I got really, really sick. So I was sort of functioning day to day and then I got rashes all over my body.
Wow.
I got like really photophobic, so I couldn't deal with the light. Right. You know, I didn't want to eat. I was like having night sweats. And this went on for a couple of months before I finally went to hospital. And one of the main issues as well, I think, with women or people that aren't deemed high prevalence is that they weren't testing me for HIV. They tested me for all the other viruses, all the other illnesses. And it took a long time to finally get a HIV diagnosis.
Doesn't a blood test just give you the full rundown of everything, or have you got to test for individual things?
Well, that's a really, really, really important point, Ollie, is that especially, like I said, for people either, A, you don't look like you're at risk, you know, so if you're a suburban white girl or, you know, I hate to sort of use those words, but if you don't fit this stereotype of what high risk is, so gay or from a culturally diverse background, you need to ask specifically for a HIV test.
Right.
Wow. They will not assume that you're at risk. And unfortunately, a lot of GPs still feel like this. So through my own seroconversion, and I was quite sick, and, you know, I was not educated about HIV at all.
Mm.
You know, like, you know, I didn't understand what was going on. I knew that I was sick. But when we finally got that HIV diagnosis, it was real.
How was that?
I was 21. I just turned 21.
Wow.
And it was in a small country town in northern New South Wales. And I still remember the nurse just saying, "So, doll, you're HIV positive. Just go home, drink a bottle of wine."
Oh, are you kidding?
My
God.
We'll have a specialist in next week. So I remember I went home and I got a bottle of wine and I was drinking it from like the bottle, kind of going like, how is this? When did this? How is this possible?
Oh my God.
How long ago was this? Just for a bit of context.
This was over 2008.
Okay.
And because nowadays, I mean, if you have a positive result in most metropolitan clinics, there will be so much counselling that comes with that.
And counselling as well. So there's pre and post test counselling. Yeah. So say if you're going in for an STI checkup, which I encourage everyone to do every 3 partners or every 3 months, And especially, like I said, if you're not from these high prevalence communities, you really need to ask for a HIV test. And when you do that, you should be given pre-counseling. So what does it mean to you if you have a positive diagnosis? How will that affect you? And then also post-counseling, you know, whether you're HIV negative or positive, there should also be that support around
your
result. Yeah, right.
That's insane that they gave you that result without the counseling. It's so scary. One 133353. We're talking to Sarah, who is HIV positive, and she wants your questions. 133353. We're trying to break down this stigma at the moment. Ben, you've got a question for Sarah?
Yeah, hey, guys. How are you going?
Good, Ben.
My question is, you said before that you're hoping to have a child in the near future. Mm-hmm. How would that conversation go with your partner or partners that you've had, you know what I mean?
Well, so I'm married and I'm undetectable. So basically means that I'm on effective treatment and I take my treatment as prescribed. So there is actually no risk of transmission. So I cannot transmit HIV to my partner, who, you know, I've been married to now for 3 years, and also previous partners as well. There's been no risk because I've remained undetectable since I've been on treatment. So it's really new science. So it's something worth Googling or having a look. But it's called U equals U, undetectable equals untransmittable. So that means if somebody's taking their treatment effectively, they cannot transmit HIV. There is a study as well called the Partner Study that you can have a look at, and it really will give you that information.
Yeah,
that's a
massive one, isn't it? I thought U equals U is like an empowering, like just be you. I honestly thought that.
It should be that.
It also is. It also gives us the freedom to just be ourselves without that stigma transmission.
But scientifically, it means undetectable equals what?
Untransmittable. We cannot pass on the virus. So through sex, through pregnancy, through technically we could even donate blood. Or organs, but you know, the science really needs to catch up before we get to that space.
133353, don't be afraid to give us a call and ask your questions.
I have more questions.
Great.
Jeez.
Great. Can I line up? Around in here?
Can I be first?
Mate, why don't you go out there, jump on your phone, call 133353. Stick around, you with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Well, we have questions. It's Flyaway, Lenny Kravitz, Triple M, Tom and Ollie, the Pondering Pond not far away with Deep Thought of the Week. But we're so lucky to be joined by Sarah, who is from Positive Living Victoria. She's a HIV positive woman. And thank you so much for answering our questions here tonight.
It's been my pleasure.
That's so awesome. We're breaking down this stigma. If you've got a question for Sarah about living with HIV, 133353. So many V's, E's, 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 E's.
Sarah, you were saying back in 2008, you were 21 and you were shockingly told by the nurse that, oh, by the way, you've got HIV, you're positive, which is a pretty full-on way to find out. But after that experience and finding out, is there, you were saying how it's quite well managed now with medication, but is there any ongoing symptoms or things that are the realities of having to deal with HIV?
Yeah, I think as well, you know, you can't underestimate, even though, you know, I talk about how good treatments are and that we cannot transmit the virus, you can't underestimate how hard and full on a HIV diagnosis is. And it took me a long time to sort of get my head around that I am a woman living with HIV. I didn't know any other women. I didn't know any other people, full stop, living with HIV. So I don't think it matters who you are or where you come from. That diagnosis is, like, it hits you hard. It is one of the most shocking diagnoses you can receive. You know, there a lot of people will have comorbidities. You know, I've had issues. I got osteoporosis from the medication, which I'm treating now. Thank God that I'm young and I can sort of bounce back from this stuff. A lot of common stuff as well as kidneys and heart issues. I think one of the biggest side effects, though, of having a HIV is the stigma and the social isolation. You know, there was recent research that came out recently that most women, especially living with HIV, either A, live alone or live with pets, and then partners were third. And this was the same for either gay men or heterosexual people living with HIV. So social isolation is a really, really big issue. So I think, you know, it's a chronic manageable illness, but it is the social stigma, the isolation, the secret is, you know, you have to keep it a secret. You have to kind of hide yourself. And that is really challenging.
It's so tough, isn't it? It's so ridiculous.
Do you ever
feeling
that pressure of having to hide it and isolate it, just get a bit done with that and just blurt it out to someone and say, I've got HIV, get over it.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
Yeah. And I certainly did. And as I said before, you know, I'm married now and, you know, I need to sort of be conscious of, you know, like his privacy as well. You know, that's why even tonight I'm not using my full name because, you know, unfortunately there is stigma that still exists and I need to respect his privacy and the privacy of our families.
Yeah. Totally.
Which is a real shame because it shouldn't be an issue. There should be no reason why I can't say, you know, I have HIV or I have diabetes or I have...
Yeah.
herpes or whatever.
Or
you
have crabs like Tom did recently when he went to Queensland.
I heard about that.
Thought it was a tick.
No, well, it was on my belly button there of all places. 133353. Do you have a question for Sarah, who's living with HIV? Brendan, you've got a question for Sarah.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Sarah, I've kind of heard that, like, you know, if someone with HIV catches a cold or something like that, you know, you're cooked. You know, if you get a cold or you get some sort of basic illness, that's the end of you. Like, I mean, is that sort of thing true? Or do you just avoid people who are sick because you haven't got the ability to fight it off? I don't know.
That was more relevant back in the day before treatment. So around 1996 is when they started releasing treatments that were effective and were effectively managing people's HIV. So basically HIV affects your immune system. And without effective treatment, your immune system is compromised. So, yeah, that was true pre-1996. If you got a cold, it'd take you a little bit longer to bounce back. I think even today, still, people with HIV, their bodies are a little bit more inflamed. But, you know, people with HIV are living longer. You know, they're more engaged with healthcare and they're more in tune with their bodies. So, I mean, that's not true today, but definitely with previous treatments or pre-treatment, that was true.
Sarah, I think another question that I think a lot of people will be wondering about, but no one's asked it yet. HIV and AIDS, what's the deal? Is it the same thing? Have you got AIDS? You know, which a lot of people probably will ask you.
Yes. Thank you so much for asking, Tom. All right. School 101 with Sarah, everybody. So HIV, human immunodeficiency virus.
Yep.
It's been a while. Thank you.
I've got on a sheet here. It says that. Yep.
Great. And AIDS. So HIV is a virus that you acquire through sex, injecting drug use, or other forms of infection. This music is really just...
Thank you, Sarah. Sorry, I'll turn it off. Here you go.
So thank you. And AIDS is an acquired immune deficiency syndrome. So you cannot get... You can only get AIDS if you have HIV. Okay. And AIDS is a sort of a group of symptoms or syndromes that you might experience with a HIV diagnosis if you're not on treatment.
Right.
So as we were talking about seroconversion earlier, some people won't have seroconversion illness. Some people will just have a minor cold, not notice, and live with HIV for 10 years and all of a sudden get really sick.
Wow.
So this is why it's really important about testing.
Yeah.
But so then, you know, you can be defined as AIDS. So that's when you might have pneumonia or certain types of cancers that normally your immune system can fight off.
And so there's not really that many cases of AIDS, you know, in Australia being, do you say contracted? How do you say
detected,
it?
I don't
know
found. What the...
Detected,
yeah, contracted is fair. So in Australia, no, we don't have many AIDS cases because, you know, we are a really lucky country as far as treatment access, which is not relevant to the rest of the world, not even to our region. And a lot of issues. The only times that we do see AIDS cases is generally with people that don't test. So we see it in heterosexual men a lot. Not a lot, but, you know, most commonly in heterosexual men and women that aren't sort of aware that they need to be tested for HIV.
So make sure you go get tested, ladies and gents. It's very easy. It doesn't involve much at all. Just a little blood test.
Yeah, and also a finger prick. There's also rapid testing available. You can access that, you know, in Melbourne. I know there's Pronto Clinic. You can go down there, get a small finger prick, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, you get your result.
It's pretty quick. Thornharbour.org is a great resource if you want to learn more. There's also things like post-exposure prophylaxis if you have been exposed to someone in the past 24 to 48 hours with
that's
with
pre someone who's yes post-exposure yes.
post-exposure yes. So there's lots of different things out there to educate yourself.
Don't be in the dark. Ask the questions and get help if needed. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you for coming in.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely amazing. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Hey, it was so awesome to have Sarah in here from livingpositivevictoria.org.au talking about living with HIV. Another great website Sarah just told me about was napwha.org.au.
Okay, great.
Which I know is a bit of a mouthful, but it's National Association of People with HIV Australia, and that's got some massive amounts of information about living with HIV or HIV prevention if you're worried about it, if you want to learn more.
I'll put those links, Tom, in the photo I'm just posting of the three of us having a gas bag here at the station on Facebook and Instagram at Tom and Ollie.
You can also see the chaos of last night's interview with Auntie Donna, the naughty boys.
That's all up there.
Yeah.
Tom, I know you've been waiting for it. You've been hanging out for this.
Oh, my God.
Your birthday's coming up, and I have got some exciting news for you.
Really?
An experience that I've got planned for you this week.
What?
It's all part of Tom's birthday week.
It's, yeah, but it's a weekend really, isn't it?
Friday to Monday is, it's a short week, but it's Tom's birthday weekend, kind of.
Oh, God.
And I also want to ask you a question about your a present that you've asked to receive.
Okay.
I want to know about your expectations, because I'm just not quite sure on the same page when it comes to what you expect for your birthday. I'm talking real talk here, like with what you expect.
Yeah, I know.
From me and your friends.
Yeah.
I want to get on the same page, because I don't want you to be let down come Monday.
God.
Okay.
Here we go. This is Morning Glory Oasis. Can't wait for that one. Stick around. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. Morning Glory Oasis, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. I can't wait, Ollie, because today, look, it is Wacky Wednesday, and very soon we'll jump in the pondering pond for
Deep Thought of the Week.
That's right, Tom. I'm pumped too. But before we get there, I just wanted to quickly discuss your birthday, because
yes,
I know that it's a
woo!
It's a huge deal for you.
Guys, I'm 28. Let's all party.
You did two points here,
yeah.
2 points of discussion. One is good news for you,
Thank you.
The other is a question about your birthday.
Okay.
The good news is you asked for a birthday month. That was too much effort. I've got you what I call a birthday week. You might call it a birthday short week, but on Friday, myself, our producer Eli, and a couple of buddies of yours, we're going to head along to a fun activity on Friday.
What is it?
But it's a secret. I've been planning it,
oh, okay.
But I think you're going to love it. I think it's going to be good fun. You didn't want to have anything too full on or dangerous, did you? Like you were saying, you don't want to have full on, like
I don't want anything that I'm not going
to
like.
Well, I mentioned there was a chance to go in a jet and be thrown around at G-force.
Yeah, I don't want that
gravity, like G8 gravity.
I don't want that.
Great. Well, I'm going to go gentle, nothing full on. It's going to be really fun on Friday. Okay.
What are we doing?
Take some cameras down. Obviously, a surprise. But I think you'll like it.
What are we doing?
I'm not going to tell you now.
Why not?
What's a surprise? I don't want to ruin the surprise.
I like surprises.
We'll film it. It'll obviously go on
I don't like surprises.
On Facebook. So that's that. Second point, though, and somewhat more of a real discussion.
I feel like a surprise. Sorry, just before that. I feel like the surprise that you'll get me is like, we got you a bottle of alcohol, but we've drunk it all. So here it is over your head. You know, it's like.
That'd be funny.
That's the type of surprise I'm expecting.
No, of course we wouldn't stitch you up.
Anyway.
So, but your birthday present. I know this is going to be a sticking point. You've already raised that you said like last week, I want to get a tent. Get me a good
tent.
A hiking tent. What do you think they cost?
Heaps of money.
Yep.
What do you think your smartwatch cost?
Okay. Here's where it gets interesting.
Exactly.
Okay.
Here is where
What are you expecting for your birthday? Let's say 4 or 5 friends put in. How much do you think is reasonable?
Can I also say that I just threw it out there. I threw the idea of a hiking tent out there to my friends.
It isn't about the tent.
I didn't expect that. I didn't expect you to get me a hiking tent.
I think you are way off the mark with what you're expecting is going to be spent on your birthday.
Totally. I expect you to spend $100 on me.
Me?
Yep.
Okay. How about your, how much, let's say we've got a good, like 4 guys are good friends.
$40.
$40 each?
40, 50.
50 each?
Like Jono and Miles, they should be putting in 50.
Why?
Because they're my good friends.
Because Jono's birthday was last month.
Yeah.
And we all spent about $25-$30 each.
Is that all we spent?
The gift cost, well, yeah, you paid for it, for a Zippo lighter.
I wanted
with
to
an
put
engraving.
In, no, but I wanted to put in 50.
No, because we all spent about $120 all up, 120. So that's what you're looking at.
Okay, but what was your smartwatch?
My smartwatch was cost like, what, I don't know, what, $400, $500?
It was very expensive.
You know why? Because I put on a do for my friends. And so that's why money was spent on me. You haven't done a thing. So you can't expect to be getting a great gift.
It's because whenever I put on a do, nobody comes.
Well, that's a separate issue. I can't help that. All I'm saying is, don't be waltzing in going, where's my Garmin
and
standard
when you,
watch?
When you put on a do, you make people sit in a circle and talk about you. That's right. We all had to bring nice things about Oliver. All right, let's go around the circle. You say something nice about me now.
Well, he's a lovely guy. He's infectious. His laughter's beautiful.
And then when I say something, everybody goes, oh, well, that wasn't nice enough. And I'm like, I don't need to tell Ollie the nice things in front of everyone.
You spoke like a speech at a work do. That's what you said. That was your words.
Because you're my colleague.
Great. Well, we've come full circle then, haven't we? Look forward to receiving a Kmart tent.
I don't want
$110
that. $110. I don't want
if that.
I don't want that. This is the new one from Panic at the Disco, High Hopes. That's what I've got for my birthday. I think they'll be destroyed.
No, but Friday should be fun.
Oh, God. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Stick around. It's called High Hopes. It's by Panic at the Disco. Head to triplem.com.au, become a Triple M club member, and let us know what you think about the music, because we listen. It's your Triple M, and we change the music depending on what you think.
We listen.
Our names are Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Ollie, just for a second. I know we're talking about my birthday present.
Yeah, go on.
Can you just please not get me another flotation tank experience like you did last year?
Oh, that was an expensive gift that I spent $100 on.
And it was so woeful, lying in a pod full of lukewarm water and Epsom salts. Yay.
Oh.
Because really, this guy needs an hour and a half of his own thoughts, doesn't he?
Well, I'm sorry you couldn't handle it. Do you know who loved it?
Who?
Your hero, Hamish Blake. He loved it. So maybe...
Nah, I loved it too. Up next, I want to jump in the pondering pond for Deep Thought of the Week. So if you've got one, 133353. Last week, I said that warm soft drink and cold coffee are the same temperature.
Deep Thought of the Week.
You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Give us a call. It's Men at Work with who can it be now? Triple M, Tom and Ollie. We'll be discussing weird gigs very soon, those musical weird gigs you've been to. But look, it is Wacky Wednesday, so it's that time.
Deep Thought of the Week.
So good to jump into the pondering pond. Those deep thoughts that you have in your head. Get them out of there. Give us a call on 133353 and join us naked in the pondering pond.
It's my weekly chance to have a wash, which is actually quite nice.
Not with soap.
Yeah, I was going to ask that because I do get sensitive skin. Is there any soaps in here or bubbles?
No, unfortunately we don't allow phospholipids in the pool.
Okay, good. No additives? Just fresh water?
Just fresh water.
Awesome, awesome. That's good to hear, man. Shaka.
We keep the water pH at rainbow frequency.
I'm sorry? What's that? Is that a LGBTQI thing?
No. You know that bottled water that you can now get that's like pH level is equal to the same frequency as a rainbow?
Oh, no way.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Unsubscribe.
It's pretty simple to get involved. If you've got something that you've been thinking about for a while, you give us a call, 133353. Ollie, I'm going to blow your mind
KFC.
Right now.
Sure.
Deep Thought of the Week.
All right. I just need to bend down here. I'm going to need to bump up my microphone because this deep thought says, if you draw with your finger -2, -2 plus equals, it's going to sound like Chim Chimney from Mary Poppins. Okay, you ready? I'm going to just drop this music.
What? Doesn't make any sense.
So draw -2, -2 plus equals sign.
Yeah, I've done that.
All right. Ready? I'm going to draw it with my finger and listen to the sound.
Oh my God.
Deep Thought of the Week.
What is that? Where's that come from? Whose is that? Good, is that yours?
It? Saw it on Instagram.
Not bad.
Hey, Maddie.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yeah,
love
good.
Your show.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thanks, love Maddie. You.
Oh. Thanks, guys.
I love your show, Maddie.
Well, my deep thought of the week was when you're in pain and you're going to the shop, most likely your Woolies or Coles, and you go to the medication aisle, for some reason the pain medication, like the proper deep medication, or at least at my shop, is at the lower shelves. Now, I normally go there with some back pain or some sort of ache that makes bending down, you know, difficult. Having a bath might help, as you described earlier. But, that was my detail of the week. Why do they situate certain products more difficult to get to?
Deep Thought of the Week.
Inconsiderate, isn't it, almost?
It is, yeah. You'd think they'd be a bit more conscientious.
If it is a deep thought, though, then you're implying that it's deliberate by the
Well, it has to be deliberate. I mean, where they place products.
What, they're trying to make you feel more pain as you reach down?
Well, that's what Manny's saying. Why are they positioning it there?
Interesting.
That's the deep thought.
Because kids can grab it as well, which is a worry. As a mother.
As a mother.
I'm not a mother, but if I was as a mother, I'd be worried.
G'day, Max.
Hello.
How old are you, Max?
12.
Yeah, sweet.
Oh, Max, you couldn't have any deep thoughts at 12 years old, could you?
Yeah, got quite a few.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, what do you got? Join us in the pondering pond. Give us your deep thought.
So if no one's explored the galaxy...
Yeah.
further enough, then how do we know there's over a trillion stars?
Deep thought of the week.
Science, I think, is the answer to that one, Max.
That's a cop-out answer, isn't it, Max, saying science?
Mm.
What about, Max, though, just being able to see them? Is that enough for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
You got any more, Max?
No.
That's okay. Hey, you want to hang out in the Pondering Pond?
Yeah.
Okay, hang out.
Max, when you're older, do you want to be an astronaut?
No, scientist.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's similar.
Mm.
Good on you, buddy. Grab a... Good on you, mate.
Don't say... It's patronising, isn't it?
Oh, good fella.
Huh?
Just being nice.
It's weird. Hey, Greg.
How are you, mate?
Good, Greg.
Deep thought for you?
Yeah, why not?
Please.
Did you know that when you click your fingers, it's actually not your fingers making the noise, it's your finger hitting your palm?
Yeah, it is.
Deep thought of the week.
You'll be doing that for about 5 minutes now. So I know.
Yeah, you hear that? That's the sound of the whole of Australia clicking their fingers. 1-3-3-5-3.
Two hands on the wheel.
If you've got a deep thought of the week, then give us a call.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Just like a 5-year-old, these two keep asking questions. And just like a 5-year-old, our Play-Doh bill is through the roof. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there. We're actually quite naked because we're in the middle of,
Deep thought of the week.
And geez, it's good to be in the Pondering Pond with all these thoughts surrounding us, Ollie. And
thoughts and water and naked bodies.
Hey, Josh.
G'day, boys.
Josh, naked. You're naked, mate.
All right, so yeah. I got a good one, I reckon.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
How can the sky be the limit if there are footsteps on the moon?
Yeah.
Deep thought of the week.
Yeah, it's all right.
Cool.
No worries, boys.
All right, yeah, no worries.
Mate. Yeah, good.
Absolutely no worries.
Yeah.
Nothing of anything else either.
Yeah, literally nothing. 1-3-3-5-3. You got a deep thought? Maybe it's better than Josh's. Probably is. Give us a call.
No,
this
right,
is
mate.
REM. What's the frequency, Kenneth? Tom and Ollie, Triple M. REM with What's the Frequency, Kenneth? Triple M, Tom and Ollie, those weird gigs not far away, those weird musical gigs.
You've been to a weird gig. Got a good story, Tom, for that one? Well, you
any more in that?
You just said weird gigs. That doesn't mean anything to anyone.
Yeah,
you just say weird
then
gigs.
You just said, I've got a good story for that one.
Well, I can say it now. Bob Dylan's been touring, and what Bob Dylan's done is very interesting.
Or weird?
Yes, weird. I don't want to repeat the word weird, though.
Deep thought of the week.
Oh, don't worry about that, mate. Worry about the deep thoughts of the week at the moment as we're in the Pondering Pond. Naked.
I am worried about it.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Have we had any good ones yet?
Not really.
No.
All right, let's whip through a few.
Here's a deep thought.
Yeah.
If you rock a Foo Fighters t-shirt all week, are you the biggest fan in Australia?
Deep thought of the week.
Tom?
I'm only wearing this thing because you made me, because I lost our Triple M U, our musical game that goes on a Thursday night.
You don't love the Fooies?
No.
You're going to get sacked.
Nah, I love them. You know I do. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, mate. What's your deep thought?
First of all, can I just say that your minus two thing is the greatest thing I've heard all night.
Isn't it the best thing in the world?
It is the funniest thing I've heard in a long time.
Okay, if you missed it...
just repeat it.
No, if you missed it, it's on our Instagram story, at Tom and Ollie. But basically, if you draw minus two, plus sign, equals sign, it sounds like Chim Chimney from Mary Poppins.
It's great. It is fantastic.
Who would have thought? How do you discover that kind of thing?
Yeah, Instagram. Go for it, Dylan.
So my one is, I think everyone that's in, whenever they're driving, whenever they get into traffic, everyone lives their life in denial because they're always saying to that they're stuck in traffic, but they are the traffic.
Yeah.
Deep thought of the week.
All right, grab a protein ball, Dylan. I like that one. That's very good. Reese.
How you doing, champs?
Good, Reese. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, mate.
You naked, Reese?
My question of the day is...
It's a deep thought, mate. Come on.
Face that you see...
No, hang on. Okay.
Sorry, mate. It's a real mess there. Reese, start right. Again. Reese, first of all, are you naked?
Naked?
Yeah.
Close to.
Good enough for me.
I got me jocks on.
All right. Now, deep thought of the week isn't a question. It's a... Well, maybe it's a question. Go for it. What is it?
My question is, what is the space between seeing a physical object, as in say you're looking at a microphone right now.
Yeah.
What is between you and the microphone before seeing that physical object?
Air.
Nothing. Air.
Air. But what is that made up of? Like, what is that?
Carbon dioxide.
Oxygen.
Explain it. Like.
Deep thought of the week.
You got me. You got me.
Like.
Even Reese reached an end point there.
All right. Maybe go get a couple of packets of shapes, boys, I reckon. You might be feeling a bit hungry now.
We'll watch some Netflix for 2 hours yeah. And fall asleep.
G'day, Caitlin.
Hey, guys.
What's your deep thought of the week?
Okay, is sand called sand because it's between the sea and the land?
Deep thought of the week.
Come on, producer Eli. We've had that about 80 billion times. Paul, what's your deep thought of the week? Thanks, though, Caitlin.
How you going, fellas?
Good, buddy.
All right. I'm naked, boys.
Yeah, feeling good in the water?
Feeling good, mate.
Yeah. You're looking good.
Thank you.
No, really good.
All right, boys. I keep getting emails from these places I shop at.
Yeah.
And they say spend and save.
Oh.
How does that work?
Yeah. Deep thought of the week.
Spot on, Paul. And my bank account's called a savings account, more like spendings.
Oh, I'm not going to give you the sting for that. G'day, Kane.
Oh, I'm good, yeah.
Yeah, good, I didn't ask you, but
that's okay.
How old are you, Kane?
I'm 12.
Oh, yeah, sick, buddy. Have you got some good thoughts?
Yeah, I've got one good one.
Oh, yeah? Just one?
All right.
Yeah go for it.
Who baptized John the Baptist?
Deep thought of the week.
Well, what does Luke's gospel say, Kane? Do you know?
He says he just got born as the Baptist.
It's crazy to think that John the Baptist may have been unbaptized, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's shocking.
Was he the guy that made up baptism?
Well, kind of. Like, he's the first person to baptize, but...
Right. Kane, your name's religious itself, Kane, and your father's name is written there, Peter. Are you pretty across the Bible? You know what's in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of theology and stuff at school?
Yeah, a lot about religion. What? And I just made my coffee.
Yeah. Cool. You made a coffee? Confirmation.
Deep thought of the week.
Very thin pages, the Bible. That's what gets me. It's hard to read because the pages are so thin. That's why I read a graphic novel version.
You read it?
Yeah. In high school, it's like a comic of the Bible. It's the best thing you ever read.
That
it's
is
just
good.
Great stories in graphic novel version.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Kane, put the Bible down. Get the graphic novel version. It'll fly by.
Watch the movie.
Jesus is just bearded, cool, white dude. What? He's white? That doesn't make sense.
All right.
In the middle of the country? In the middle of the world?
Come on, tease us with what's coming up next with your gigs, mate.
What's up now? Oh, well, mate, Bob Dylan is touring the country, and you won't believe what he's been doing between the songs he plays.
He's been walking down roads finding out how many it takes to be a man.
Sure. Blowing in the wind.
Yeah. All right, stick around. This is Don't Lose It, The Living End, Tom and Ollie, Triple M. We have questions. It's The Living End with Don't Lose It, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Thank you to Gus for messaging in on Instagram, at Tom and Ollie. His deep thought of the week was, if a pig loses its voice, is it disgruntled? Which I quite like. That's pretty funny stuff.
Deep thought of the week.
Tom, to take us to Naughty After Nine, I wanted to ask this question. Have you been to a weird gig? Can you reflect on a time that a musical gig, concert, etc., was just a bit off? What happened at the weird gig?
For me, it was the Village People. They just seemed a tiny bit plastic and like way too old.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
Do you remember seeing Village People at Meredith Music Festival?
I hope the calls we get are better than that. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Because I ask this because Bob Dylan's been in town. He played in Melbourne, I think, last night or the night before.
He's in Sydney over the next 3 nights, 18, 19, 20.
Okay.
Now,
Bob's getting older. He's 77, obviously known for a many number of hits, Tom, whether it's Knocking at Heaven's Door, which I could play for you now if you wanted me to.
Nah, it's okay.
Like a Rolling Stones, one of my favourites. Came in at number one in Rolling Stone's Greatest Song of All Time.
How does it feel?
Oh.
How does it feel?
Rolling Stone, the magazine, not the band. That band didn't vote Bob Dylan's song as the best song of all time.
Have you seen that movie as well? the Bob Dylan movie where all the different actors play Bob Dylan.
Oh, I haven't.
And Cate Blanchett plays him, and it's
effing amazing. Cate Blanchett plays him. That's weird.
No, it's awesome. That's what it is.
Similar face, maybe. I guess with some makeup. But here's why it's weird. Bob is an older man, getting a bit cantankerous, plays the music apparently very well by all reviews, killing it, you know, with he's still got the energy. But he apparently, in the Margaret Court performance in Melbourne last night, did not say a single word to the audience.
No.
Between songs. Not even a hello, not even a goodbye.
Come on, mate.
I'm reading in the Sydney Morning Herald there that he apparently just not a word. So sits down at his piano. How funny is that? It's like a cantankerous.
He's 77.
Old man. Yeah, I did say that at the start. He's getting older, so it's fair enough that he's got a catalog of songs that is just bigger than the Bible, bigger than the graphic novel version of the Bible, and he just gets on and plays his tunes. But isn't that weird? If you're in the audience and if you're in the front row, even you're sitting there and he probably doesn't look at you much, doesn't say a word.
No.
You get the song, and then it's probably a bit of silence,
it's the worst part about seeing an artist live is if they don't make a connection to you. The person that I found made the best connection to me as an audience member was Lorde. You know that New Zealand artist? We don't play her on this station.
No, she's very much pop, Tom Bainbridge.
She's very pop.
She's not rock.
Yeah, I know, but that's fine. We can reference other musical artists.
I wouldn't be.
But she was absolutely amazing. She drew you in and she felt like she was speaking one-on-one with you.
Yeah, well, that's what you want. I think it'd be a weird gig. So 1-3-3-5-3, I'll finish the phone number. Have you had a weird gig? Because it would sound like, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Give a couple of seconds. Next song would start.
How many roads must a man walk down?
That's uncanny.
Before they call.
Have you been to a weird gig? What happened? Did something go down that was strange? Maybe you were at the gig where did Dave Grohl break his leg on stage?
No way.
Yeah, and he kept playing.
Oh, okay. What happened at the gig?
Something like that.
What happened at the gig?
1-3-3-5-3. Strange gig. Shocking gig. What happened at that
dancing
gig
in the studio now? This is a great tune. The QR close to me. Turn it up. You were Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Get involved. Otherwise, nothing happens. Close to me, the QR. Some great tracks being spun on Triple M tonight. Keep it locked. You with Tom and Ollie. We have questions.
Keep it locked.
You like that one? Old school radio guy.
Can you lock your radio?
Yeah.
Put a padlock on it? On the dial?
Hey, Naughty After Night isn't far away. We're talking being tied up.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Tom, weird gigs, strange gigs. What happened at the gig after we've just discussed Bob Dylan saying not a single word, saying nada, saying zip between every single song he played? And I imagine it would be a hefty set.
Blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
I mean, he's one of those guys that his music is prophetic. The words he says, I said prophetic, not pathetic. Mm. The things he says is profound. Mm. So in a way, the lyrics speak for themselves. But as a punter going to a gig, you would want to hear him say at least, g'day guys, good to be here, or hello, or goodbye. He did none of that.
1-3-3-5-3, what happened at the gig? My mate Leon has been texting me nonstop saying things like, Paul McCartney said he loved me twice when he went and saw him.
Okay,
he also sweet-talked his way onto stage to dance work with Nile Rodgers.
Why are you giving this Leon character airtime? He sounds like a thirsty piggy who just wants attention, if you ask me. I want to hear about weird gigs where something actually weird happened probably on stage with the band. But who knows? Scotty, what is your weird gig? What happened?
Hey, guys. This was about, I want to say about 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. Blink 182 had just released their live album, The Mark, Tom and Travis Show, and they were touring it.
Classic.
Oh, I remember that album. It was great.
Well, they came out and they played that song, that album from start to finish with the same one-liners that are on the CD.
Oh
no.
Like every single joke was in there, every single comment was in there. Like they just played that CD from.
So it felt a bit contrived, did it? It just felt a bit fake.
Oh, it was just. I could have sat at home and listened to the CD.
Yeah, right.
I know what you were saying. You were going, "Damn it!"
Good try, Tom. Good try.
That was pretty good.
No, James, I'm on 3-3-5-3. What happened at the gig, James?
James, I really caused it to cancel.
You nearly caused a tour cancel.
Yeah, single-handedly. Yeah, absolutely.
You must be very ugly. No,
no,
you're all right.
Well, it depends. What happened? Objective. So I was at the time a fourth year apprentice chef cooking in South Australia at a really well-to-do restaurant. We were sort of tendered by the Paul Dainty Corporation to follow international touring bands and be their personal chefs while they were in Australia.
Whoa, cool.
Sweet gig.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had, I've got a myriad of stories, but this is one. But yeah, so I was allocated to the Cranberries when they came into Australia.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was good times.
It's a Cranberries time.
Yeah, well, I didn't. So we were right into sort of Thai cookery at the time and sort of Japanese sort of French fusion food. And I didn't realise that the Irish don't eat too much in the way of spice.
Oh, and, right. No, just potatoes.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. Yeah, so anyway, so I made up some food for Dolores and she consumed it and it was rather spicy and she nearly couldn't sing. So
it
went down a tree. Yeah,
James, mate, surely as a chef, you've got to please your target audience.
Yeah, I was an apprentice chef. That's my caveat.
Yeah, yeah, you're an apprentice chef.
And
a big difference.
And I'm guessing your food lingered.
You got to laugh, don't you, Tom? Otherwise you cry. Give yourself a win. Yeah. Tim, what happened at the gig, Tim?
So date yourself all the way back to the early 90s, if you can. I don't know if you guys are old enough for that.
Two years old?
Can't. Yeah, definitely can't.
I went and saw The Cure. Funnily enough, it was the first song that you played after putting the call through. But if you can imagine, you go to see The Cure, you know, it's a certain style of music. You're expecting a fairly mellow, but really good sort of vocal, really good sort of sound to it.
Poppy rock, yeah.
Yeah. So that was just back in the days of, you know, the good old goth. So we were all stoned off our heads and we went to the concert expecting this mellow, quite, you know, good vocal. And it was the loudest concert I think I've ever been to.
Oh, no.
It was the most amazing in terms of a lighting show. And this is back in the entertainment center days, so we'd go outside to have a smoke out on the street and you could still hear them playing outside the entertainment center.
So the mixing was a bit wrong.
In your state, were you ill prepared for that gig?
It was a mind bend.
Mind blown, as they say. Well done, Tim. Matt, what was the gig experience? It was a bit off.
Well, it's actually a weird thing because it was over two gigs over 32 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In 1986, I went to Kooyong Tennis Centre to see Midnight Oil.
Oh, sick.
At the time, I was with my best mate and I was about 16. We go there, we're waiting to see the band. Never seen Midnight Oil before, didn't actually know who they were. The only reason I went was because I saw it written on the back of other kid at school bag and thought, hey, that's probably going to be a good band. Shit, I was all right. Anyway, the band, the music started, and all of a sudden I was like, where's the lead singer? Oh. He was up on scaffolding on the side of the actual auditorium of the whole Kooyong Tennis Centre.
Peter?
Yeah, Peter Garrett was going absolutely freaking ballistic, right?
Pete,
and the funny thing was there was kids sitting up on the scaffolding, didn't realise that he was right behind them performing.
Oh.
And they're like, because he had the spotlight on him, and all of a sudden they're like, what's going on here? So they just jumped up and started dancing with him.
Oh.
And then he actually jumped off the stage, ran right through the audience, all through the seats, all the way around, and then jumped up on stage, and the whole thing just erupted and went absolutely bananas. The best concert I ever went to.
It's a great gig.
Yeah, which is
the story of a great gig.
Hey, look, it was a great gig. But this is the funny thing.
Oh, okay.
I went and saw them. You know, in the retirement.
Sorry, Han, I'm just getting a cup of tea, some popcorn, and just mucking in for a long story here, Matt. No, go on. We've just been 6 minutes talking so far, but keep going.
Fantastic. You know, you've got to make the most of it.
Yeah.
Listen to this. I'm sitting there, 2018, at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. No one even rushed the stage.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Anyway, they get on stage. They did a great show. They still did pretty well. Yeah. And just before the encore, Jim Magini fell off the stage, broke his freaking knee, and that was it. They couldn't do the encore, and they played it.
I must have a short memory. I wish I had a short memory.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt.
Just a bit long.
No, you're right, Matt.
We need to get to Naughty After Nine.
Crux of the story was, it was a great gig.
Yeah.
Good on you, mate.
Stick around for Naughty After Nine. Talking tying up and sex.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.